mean, if you're looking into next year, there's like, you know, Rowe's definitely established himself as a big league bullpen piece. Hughesy's had a great consistent season. Hopefully we get Cody back. I think Adbert Azalea can get back healthy and be a real piece. There's like four right there that without even kind of grinding right now. I think we'll see a lot from these guys that have gotten called up. I mean, Rucker's been up and down and done okay. I think Uelmann's got the ability to continue to develop and help us out a lot. Leiter's actually, I thought, like really turned into a real helpful piece down there. Espinosa does good when he's come up here. You know, are all those guys kind of fit down there, like, pieces for next year? I mean, we got to look at all that and how that plays out in the offseason. But there's some things and some stuff coming from everything that I read and hear.
Well, it's a lot more fun to listen to David Ross talk than Tony La Russa. That's for damn sure.
Especially after night game, Tony, where he's just...
And you know what the problem is? For anybody who's covering Tony La Russa, get the mic closer to his face. Because there's background noise that will swallow up Tony. He doesn't project anymore.
Peggy and Dion just said it, too. And they had a terrific time at ESPN Football Fest at the Hard Rock in Northern Indiana. They said,
which is still going on if you want to head
there. When Tony talks, especially like in the post game and the microphone's not close, they both said they find themselves leaning in towards the TV or radio and like trying to hear what...
Absolutely. When we play clips back, I'm leaning in.
Yeah.
I'm leaning in. It's like we can't fix the audio. So whoever's recording him, make sure to get the microphone in his face because he's not going to project and take him to a quiet spot.
And so that was David Ross talking about here the Cubs trade away their four top relievers at the deadline, right? And get hopefully good prospects and assets back. But he Rossi would be a great hockey coach because he's got the nicknames. He's got, you know, Rowan Wick.
Yeah, that's a thing in the NHL. Everybody's right? And you add a Y to the end of the.
That's all you do,
Rossi.
Right?
Yeah, it's Rossi. Yeah,
that's all you do. Yeah. But yeah, Rowan Wick, Brandon Hughes, Cody Hoyer is coming off Tommy John.
Hanley
E. Well, Hans. Everyone calls me Hans.
Hans, okay.
Yeah, I think that was on my bowling shirt too at one point. You know, Cody Hoyer, who the Cubs got for the Kimbrel trade, you know, he's coming off Tommy John. Azalea has had a lat and hasn't been available, but he's coming back. And, you know, who knows how many of these guys are going to be anything, but they do have numbers now where they can sort it out, right?
Yep,
And they're not pitching in high leverage situations, so that would be the next step once you settle on four or five guys you're going to, you know, turn to in the bullpen. But what I couldn't see 2 months ago, and I said I love David Ross. I loved having him on my show every week. He's a great guy. He's funny.
But we didn't know if he was a good manager.
Amen.
That's what you were going to bring up. I knew it.
Right.
Yes.
When Jed said he's a rock star as a manager, he was on my I don't know list, just like Jed's on my I don't know list of whether he can be the architect, the premier architect of a World Series team. It doesn't mean they can't. It doesn't mean I'm leaning towards they won't. It's just I don't know. I need to see more. But I will say in the last couple months, I've seen more from David Ross, and I've seen more from this roster, so there's to Jed, and I've seen more foundation pieces, again, that Madrigal coming back. Jesse mentioned Madrigal. I was ready to give up on him.
You were trying to give him to me and my team for a bag of balls.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But now he's back from hamstring surgery, and Jesse told you, I mean, how good he's looked. The numbers are unbelievable, and again, small sample size, but you can start seeing Morel, certainly. Here's hoping Reyes is a guy. Seiya Suzuki, I'm not sure. I've seen streaks and flashes, but you better
be for the amount of money that they spent.
That's right, and the commitment you made to him.
Yeah.
So you need to see more from him on a more consistent basis. Stroman, who knows if he opts out or but what after his stint on the IL, he's been much better and what you thought he'd be. So you're starting to see more, at least I am in the last couple months, to make it, I don't know, excited, but certainly you can foresee some of these guys being players when you're a contending team.
All right, Brian, so I've got to jump in and bust you on something.
For sure.
Within the past couple of months, we have both said, and I've believed this forever, that if, and I said this earlier on the show, that if you are trying to send a message to management because you don't like what they're doing, don't give them your money, don't show up, don't buy the merch. Okay? And you were saying the same thing pretty emphatically about the Northsiders.
Yeah.
Now you seem to be a little excited. When is the time to support? Are you there now already?
No. No. And as a matter of fact, okay. I was just talking to one of my brothers last night over dinner, and he's a huge Cubs fan.
You have like 30 brothers, right?
Yes. I have five brothers, three sisters.
Okay. A lot of Hanleys.
Yeah, don't even get me going on cousins on either side. I think I got 35 to 40 on either side of the family. So, but I was saying to my brother, Terry, I said, he's a huge Cubs fan. We all grew up Cub fans. We, we used to have season tickets a whole bit. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, have you been out to Wrigley yet this year? And he said, I've been to one game. And he said, I'd like to get out to one or two more before the season's over. And I said, yeah, I'm not there yet. I was like, I can't. Even though, Sully's picture looked glorious, and he did mention in his column today that the beer cup snakes are still taking more of the focus in the bleachers than the game itself, even though it was a good game yesterday. But I get why people want to go out. I know that Sylvie said this via Twitter, that he will take his kids to – he likes to see his kids happy. If the kids want to go out to Wrigley Field, he's taking his kids to Wrigley Field.
There's something magical about any baseball park.
Yeah, especially when it's a beautiful day.
Yep.
And you know what? 39,000 plus people. I mean, the energy there, whether they're paying attention or not, it's. I
39,000 Cup Snakers.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, they're still top 5, 6, 7 in attendance, even though they're bottom 5, 6, 7 in record. So, go figure.
Okay, so you're definitely not the one, because your excitement kind of led me to believe, well, wait a minute, is Brian saying, go ahead, spend your money, get the green light, everybody go for it?
Since I spent my money on Marquee, and I don't even think I had a choice, I think.
And Bruce Springsteen, you got no money left.
No, but I mean, Marquee just showed up. I didn't get to say yay or nay. They just put it in the sports package I have on my TV, right?
Oh, really?
So I'm watching more Cubs now because they're fun. I'm fun to watch. There's more energy there. It's more interesting to watch right now. Arguably, it's more interesting some nights than watching the White Sox, and that's the team that's supposedly contending for something.
Absolutely. If you're a baseball fan, you want to watch good baseball, and those two games against the Astros, wow. But, of course, we've been fooled before. There's no corner turning. There's no sustained success. And when you see it on the South Side, it's like, there it is. There it is. Copy and paste it. Catch it and put it in a bottle, do something, but there is just no sustained success, which is why it drives us nuts and why I refuse to say the team is totally, overselling us. There's talent there. He's just, as Jesse said, Tony and the coaching staff is not getting the best out of them inconsistently. And there are players that just are, should not be on this team. Grandal being one of them.
Yeah. And I told you about my Cubs betting system in game earlier in the season, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever the Cubs got a lead, and especially it was a multi-run lead, I opened up my FanDuel app and immediately bet against the Cubs, right? Because I said, if Tom Ricketts is going to make money on a bad team, so am I. I can't do that anymore because they do bounce back, as they did a couple times yesterday. And that thing has run its course.
They figured you out.
But here's the thing. Here's your new betting system for the White Sox. Bet against them in the first game of a series because they're 14-24.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There are many people that figured that out a long time ago.
Sure, and that's why they're living in Vegas as professional gamblers. But I mean, the odds are you're going to be cashing more than you're not. And does that speak to preparation, mindset? You can't win series.
It's a long list of stuff.
You can't win series when you're dropping the opener. I mean, you won't win the majority of them because you're now up against it.
You're
right?
Absolutely right. We're going to jump to David, our buddy David in Wakanda, before we hit the break here on ESPN 1000. Hey, David, you're on with us.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Xander. David Spada here.
Yeah, David.
Yeah, we gave up our Cup season tickets. We were season ticket holders since 82, and we're not going back until they start winning. I mean, again, this is brutal. I mean, they want you to pay all this money. And again,
I'm amazed you survived the 80s. I'm amazed you survived the 80s.
Wow, don't get me going on 84 again. Please, please, please stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so you're still waiting to see, David?
Yeah, we're waiting to see because, again, they want your money, but, again, they're not putting the money into the team. I mean, their payroll is like $120 million this year. Next year it's going to be even less unless they sign a Correa or go after a Judge. But, again, I want to see put some money into this team.
Yep. Yep, we get it, David. Thank you for the phone call. 312-332-3776. Let's hit break here, come back, and talk about the Bears. They beat Seattle the other day. What does it really mean? Back after this on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago.
This is Xander and Hanley on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Bayless Jones. A spark down the sideline. He's done this net. Here's the rookie, Bayless Jones. Well in Seattle territory.
I liked it. You know, he's fast for sure, and he's explosive. And we're you know, that's a challenge for him, you know, because he's a rookie, you know, and he's going to have to come in there and show guys what he can do. And, you know, I think he's up for the challenge.
I mean, he's a do-it-all guy, you know. He's a physical guy. I think he weighs like 210 at receiver, and you know, you don't see it from a guy at least like his height. You know, you usually see those weights from guys that are 6'3", 6'4", and you know, just what he's able to do with the ball in his hands. He's almost like a running back playing receiver. So, you know, he's a, you know, great weapon that we have on offense, and you know, we're going to find ways to give him the ball this year for sure.
That's our quarterback, Justin Fields. And before that, Eberflus on Bayless Jones. We're on Twitch. Every day, twitch.tv, ESPN 1000 Chicago, brought to you by your Chicagoland Midas franchisees. Brian Hanley, we beat Seattle the other day. What does it really mean? The final there, 27-11. Preseason is, you know, we've talked about it many times from our previous regime where, you know, and our starters never really got any kind of action. Now we're seeing a little bit, but how much will it really mean and what the big storyline still remains to this day would be Roquan Smith. What a mess that is.
Well, and that's what they spent the majority of the time talking about on the broadcast.
Yeah.
And people on Twitter, like, who had the worst night, the Seahawks or the broadcast team? And Dan Orlovsky was really getting beat up for his takes on the Bears. And, you know, that they did that the entirety of the cast, the team seemed to think the Seattle Seahawks are in a much better spot than the Chicago Bears are. And watching that game, I don't know how you make that case at all.
I don't either.
But that said, you know, that's what their storyline was. And look, we spent a ton of time talking about Roquan Smith last weekend because that was the news and still is the news.
It still is. It's just getting weirder and weirder.
And Adam Schefter just told Peggy and Dion that, you know, he thinks that there's got to be a middle ground and it's got to happen before the season starts.
Mm-hmm. And we thought we'll maybe see. It would be settled by now because, remember, we were thinking it would be settled by Thursday. Obviously, did not
obviously
happen.
Obviously not. And there's no indication that they're any closer or that they're even talking. And Adam Schefter said at some point he believes the Bears are going to have to start putting, as he said, the screws to
and that would be the fines, right?
Fines, yeah. Right. And, and, you know, where does it go from there? If Roquan Smith believes he's absolutely standing on correct ground, and he starts getting fined $40,000 for every missed practice, and then you can't, as Ryan Poles, once you start doing that, you can't waive the fines if they come to a contract agreement, right? Because that doesn't look good as a first-time GM or any GM.
No. Whole thing doesn't look good on him, and he has to set a tone. And I believe he should start putting the screws to him. I don't want a malcontent on the Bears, no matter how good he is.
Yeah, that's what you have right now.
And yeah, we do. We do. We definitely do.
But, you know, looking at Justin Fields, and Dan Orlovsky went on to 25 Whistles podcast with your guy Bobby Bones.
My guy.
Yeah, well, he's a radio guy. I mean, he's everywhere, right?
Yeah, he is.
He's done very well for himself. Sitting in Nashville,
Country radio nationally or whatever he does.
Right. Yeah. And he said, I think it's going to be a step back, meaning for Justin Fields. He said, I don't think it's a year for Justin Fields and his development. They have the worst situation for a quarterback in the NFL. And they went on to rip the receivers, the offensive line, you know, basically saying it's not Justin Fields' fault, but he doesn't see any way in hell that you can have development. They have, quote, one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. And probably the last 10 years, their number one receiver is a fifth-round pick, Darnell Mooney. Good player, but he's not a number one in the NFL right now. I think that's going to be really difficult for Justin Fields. My hope and prayer is that no one judges him until 2023 when they're a little more supportive around him. you're going to have to judge him in 2022.
You have to.
I'm sorry. You're going to have to. And we did see a couple good screenplays, a couple of plays to the tight end, Cole Kmet, which gave last week we were talking to Mark Potash of the Sun-Times, and he said he believes it's very simple. If your tight end is open, you have a good offense. And Cole Kmet got open a couple times, including on a bootleg where Justin was rolling left and he squared up and, you know, delivered the ball, 19 yards or whatever, down to Cole Kmet.
Yep.
So you're going to have to judge Cole Kmet this year, too, whether Orlovsky, you know.
Now, what Orlovsky's saying, though, it'll be interesting to see how Poles is judging Fields this year based on the deficiencies that maybe he sees them. We all see them. Are they as bad as he paints it? I don't know. We'll see. But the point is, we need to get a feel, or we will get a feel, for what Poles and Eberflus in the way they're judging, because we can judge all we want as fans, but at some point we've got to see how they're going to judge him. And if they're going to judge him this year without the supporting cast that he needs for success, they may be cutting him short a bit, right?
Well, here's the thing about the one play I wish, and I'm sure Justin Fields wish he had back. So, well, first of all, there were 4 of 13 on third downs. That's got to be much better than that, right? And but when you're sitting there with a third down and you've got a chance to convert a first down, and he chose to skip his progressions and he just kind of pitched the ball to Khalil Herbert, and there's a 2-yard loss, and now you're not putting the ball in the end zone, and you're sitting down there at their Seattle 30-yard line or whatever. I want to see those plays more often not convert. I want to see him make the right call, the right decision, before you end up settling for a field goal. And here's the thing. I couldn't believe when I read this in Brad Biggs' column last week. The Bears haven't had a preseason game opening drive touchdown. So all your preseason games in all these years, they have not found the end zone in the opening drive of a preseason game since the year 2000. And they don't have any data before that. It's not easily available. But think about that. Think about that. I mean, you would think it would just dumb luck. You would get, you know, a heave downfield.
We don't even have dumb luck.
I know. I'm thinking that's a lot of preseason games.
Yes, it is.
In 22 years. And you still don't, because you settle for a field goal on this one, right? I mean, you know, I'd like to see the end zone. And you saw shut out in the first week, in the first half. So, Justin Fields knows he'd like to convert that play and have a chance to actually put the ball in the end zone.
312-332-3776. Always a pleasure to hear from our buddy Bear fan Bob jumping in on ESPN 1000. Hey, Bob.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And your concerns that you talked about Fields were some of mine also. My question is maybe he's been taught bad mechanics. The ghost is still there, because I saw a little bit of that in game one and game two, because this is the first time I've been on the radio, you know, since both of these games. And I only go on with you guys most of the time. And anyways, yeah, he's okay, but I kind of really question him, and I hope this coaching staff can fix it. On the other side of that, this coaching staff, in my opinion, for the first time in years, looked competent. The people executed
correctly.
It looked organized. They knew where to be and they knew what to do. And these are the twos and threes. I get it. This is pretend football. I don't care if they win or lose the game. That's immaterial. But the twos and the threes did, and that, you know, even with the second game on the first set with Fields, they started to look like almost a professional offense. Almost. But here we go again. Bad decisions with Justin Fields, not doing his reads and not going through his progressions correctly. Maybe he's still seeing the ghost. I don't know. I hope this coaching staff can fix it. My only problem with the coaching staff is I wonder why they didn't challenge the catch at the end of that second game. I thought that the young man.
And bingo, Bob, because not only did they, and Eberflus said, well, they didn't get a good second look at it up in the booth, even though some coaches on the sideline thought it was incomplete, so they were already leaning towards not challenging. But then to get the delay of game penalty while they're trying to figure out the challenge, now you can't challenge because you got the penalty.
Yeah.
So
And I'm thinking that's okay for this to happen during the preseason game.
Don't do that during the season. Right.
and now's the time to do this.
Yep.
But on the same token, this also might be a good exercise to back your team up, put them under the thumb during preseason to see how they will perform. That's the only reason I can think of him not doing it, but I don't know. You know, I'm not the coaching staff. And for the White Sox, it is sad to see Tony La Russa starting to turn into Coach Nagy. This is not good. I hope the White Sox get a decent coach there pretty soon, because this is, I don't even watch them no more.
Boy,
I just
that comparison really hurts. Yeah.
Tell me about it, and there ain't no bigger White Sox fan than me. But it's awful. You know, I quit. I'm sorry. I'm tired. It's time to, you know, take a look at the Bears, watch the Bears closer, because that arrow.
Well, you are a Bear fan, Bob. You're not White Sox, Bob. So, yeah, this is a good time of year for you.
That's true. Guys, so we'll talk to you after the third preseason game, and have a great show.
All right, thanks, Bob. Thanks, Bob. Always a pleasure to hear from Bob. You know, he's always very, very spot on his analysis. Yeah, the mistakes will be made. It's good that they're being made in preseason, but got to clean this stuff up, especially Fields, for the regular season. Will that happen? Time will tell.
Yeah, that was a learning moment for Eberflus and his staff, because that looked too much like Matt Nagy not knowing exactly how he wanted to respond to it. And after we read about Eberflus going through all those video sessions to simulate games and how you would make those decisions, including challenging or not challenging, you can't get the delay of game penalty. I mean, you either decide you're not challenging, but don't get yourself
right.
A
5-yard
penalty, and now your punter can't pin him in, you know, near the goal line. It's going in the end zone.
Brian, this game is tough enough. Those things have to be cleaned up, because there's a lot of stuff you cannot control. 312-332-3776. We'll get to Jay on the phone lines talking about the Bears. And you, if you want to jump in, you know the number. This is ESPN 1000.
Welcome back to Xander and Hanley on ESPN Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
Fields throwing and finds Kmet in a seam down to the 20.
Yeah!
Big pickup and some emotion out of the Chicago tight end. Gain of 19.
That's the guy that was supposed to see the ball more often under Nagy. Didn't really happen. See what kind of impact he makes this year, Brian Hanley.
Was very excited about being part of that play. And that's Jay Cantu's guy, Cole Kmet. So, local kid, Notre Dame guy, and big year for him.
I thought any player on the Cowboys was Jay Cantu guy.
Only Cole Kmet.
Yeah, only Cole?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Friends of friends. He's got a Cole Kmet connections.
Oh, he does.
Yeah. So, okay. Here's another guy who, you know, the new regime is wondering what they have here in a former second round pick. And we've been, like you said, Mark, you know, Nagy always talked about.
We got to get the ball more to him more. And it's like as if it's somebody else's problem.
Exactly right. You're the guy with the big Waffle House menu or Wendy's menu in front of you. Or the
Denny's menu.
Denny's menu, yeah.
Those are big menus.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
and they're laminated so you can just wipe them off. Because the syrup gets on there, it's all nasty. Yeah.
So
312-332-3776. Jay's in Homewood. He's been patient, wants to jump on here on ESPN 1000 with Xander and Hanley. What's up, Jay?
I gotta tell you, we won't be able to see what Cole can do if he has to block, because they can't block for Fields, you know. I'm so excited about the upcoming season, but my expectations are realistic. And I heard the analysis that you all referenced, that the host made about Fields, and I thought it was spot on.
Riddick and Orlovsky.
It came from an objective standpoint. He's not a Chicagoan, and so it was objective. He was saying how it's very difficult for a young quarterback to develop if they're on their back all the time. They come to eat in the NFL, and if you look at what the data has shown, though, the teams in the North, from a defensive standpoint, it looks like most of them have gotten better. I'm looking at fantasy football and all of that. So Minnesota, Detroit, I think Detroit picked up that young guy from right out of Michigan. They look better. And so they're going to face them half the games. Fields is a talent, but he has to get some protection. It's going to take a lot of creativity, a lot of innovativeness in order to protect him. What that means is it may stymie their offense. Because he's not going to be able to throw up to this person. He's going to have to put so many people on the line. And so if he's getting sacked four or five times and he's rushing his throws,
yes, he's going to have more interceptions, but then we're going to, you know, we're going to criticize Fields heavily and all of that. And I just said, we have to do a balanced assessment. And I just don't know any young quarterback who can do well under those circumstances. And it just bothers me that we haven't done enough to protect who could be a franchise quarterback.
Yep. It's but a good point, you, Jay.
If he's not protected, he can end up hurt. And I'm just saying that worries me. And I just don't want us to heavily criticize Fields when an organization looks like they haven't done enough to help this young guy develop yet. But
that's,
we'll see, man. We'll
yeah,
see.
That's what we mentioned earlier. Thank you, Jay. You know, obviously we don't want him to get hurt, Brian. But we also have to take all of that into consideration when we determine, you know, is he part of this franchise moving forward? So if we don't have the bright pieces around him to protect him and give him the best chance to succeed, is this just another year where we just have to say, well, let's see what we can do next year? We can't really judge him enough.
No, and I'm with you, Mark. And I'm with Jay. Everything you said is spot on.
Yeah, it is.
And you can agree with all of it. And I get all the obstacles because the offensive line is still in flux and fluid. Adam Schefter told Peggy and Dion today that he still thinks Tevin Jenkins is going to be moved more likely than not, even though it looks like he's the starting guard for the first game of the season, if he's still here, right guard. But that said, my point in response to Orlovsky is you're going to have to judge him in some respects, in some regards this year, no matter what the line looks like, the receiving.
No, you are.
Like.
I'm just wondering to right. what degree.
Right, right. No, but it's a balancing act.
Yeah.
You can't just write this off and say, well, we didn't put enough pieces around him, so therefore he gets a pass. It's going to be whether, as Bear fan Bob said, is he seeing ghosts? Because the pressure will be real, unfortunately, often enough. But if his first instinct is to run because he did that out of, you know, survival mode last year, he's got to be better about protecting the ball. He's got to go through his progressions and not give up.
And those are the little things that we'll see, hopefully, the improvement on, so we can say, okay, he's improved within the context of a not a great situation with the offensive line. So there will be room for improvement. We just have to see. It's going to be a little more subtle than him just performing, right. You know, miracles, because it may take miracles.
You will be evaluating him. And when he's on third and four at the Seattle 15 the other night, and he gave up on his didn't go through his progression fully and just dumped it off to Herbert and lose 2 yards. Now you're settling for a field goal. Those are things you can judge because the protection was there and he just rushed the decision making and
Agreed.
He ended up with a negative play.
Agreed. And it's all to say what we've been saying whenever we've talked to anybody, Josh Schrock or anybody else, that, you know, it is going to the success and development of Justin Fields is going to be the small things. It's not going to be anything tremendously big. We don't think. Maybe it will. Maybe all of a sudden he turns into the stud quarterback despite everything that is going against him.
That's
a miracle. That's a miracle.
I mean, if that happens, you know, you start moving that clock ahead a couple seasons. If you know, all of a sudden he rises above all the you know, handcuffs he has around him.
Mm-hmm.
This is an important year for him. It's not a free pass year, no matter. And that would be my only disagreement with J.R. Caller that. They are going to be looking at him, and they are going to be grading him, and they're going to be trying to figure out in short order what they have here. Is he closer to a franchise quarterback, or is he closer to just being a guy?
Right, and Jay also brought up, you know, fans are going to be, you know, beating up on Justin Fields. We can't tell fans how to fan. Yeah, you know, people are going to do whatever they're going to do. For me, I'm going to look for those small improvements because, yes, they are going to be judged, and it will be interesting. He will be judged. It will be interesting how much Ryan Poles, I think that those being the professionals, right, running the team, they will see those small improvements, hopefully, and that will give them hope for the future as they try to build this team for success in the future. It's not going to happen this year.
Let me ask you about another quarterback who was in the news again this week, Deshaun Watson. So he initially got the 6-game suspension. Cleveland, went ahead and gave him the minimum salary this year, although the $230 million is completely guaranteed, knowing that something was coming in terms of the suspension. They cynically went ahead and gave him the least amount of money they could give, $1.035 million, so that he would not lose any more money than he had to lose. And so the initial arbitration judge came out with six games. The league said, no, thank you. We're going to, it was their right to appeal it. And before their second arbitration judge, who was going to have the final say, got to the case and actually gave a decision, the NFLPA and the league came to 11 games and a $5 million fine. But with that $1 million salary, he's losing $630,000 in salary. And then you saw Deshaun Watson say what he said the other day. So he's apologized, and then he said, I'm innocent. And then he's sticking with the I'm innocent, and he's playing the victim now, right? That just because he settled and he agreed to the suspension and the fine, and he settled, he's about to settle three more cases, so all but one of the 24 cases brought against him. And yet he's still standing there saying, I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, you know, and part of, and I would imagine he can't really do this, but a lot of times in lawsuits, when you settle, you have to shut your mouth.
Right.
So I don't know if they can control that when he's talking to reporters in the context of his NFL career. But the point being, it would be a lot better if he said, I'm just going to put this behind me, and we're going to move forward, and we're going to, whatever, I have to sit out, and then we'll come back, we'll play, and we're going to put the best team on the field in. And just stop with all of this other stuff, because what's the number, 32?
He's got, there are 24 people who
But there
filed.
Was 32 accusations at some point. Weren't they into the 30s? Yeah, it's a bad look for him, and it was pretty, he's not convincing me.
Well, and it's that number within like a 2-year span, right, that we know of. And I tweeted this out. I mean, because part of the agreement, the 11 games, $5 million fine, and the $630,000 of lost salary, there's also a treatment program that he has to agree to take part in. And I tweeted this out.
It sounds like he's really going to, immerse himself in that.
Yeah, well, I mean, right now, if he didn't think he did anything wrong or he even has a problem, how's that going to, how's that treatment? If you don't think there's a problem to treat, then you're really not all in on this thing. But I tweeted out, at the minimum, he's got some compulsive behavior here, which I don't know. I mean, it will surface yet again. It might surface in a different form, but
you're absolutely right. If he does not take care of this and actually try to take care of whatever he needs to take care of, it will surface in another way. I bet you.
Right. And so if he isn't on board that I need some help and I need some professional help, and so that he's just agreeing because he can't get on the field. If he said, no, I'm not doing the treatment program, well, then he's out. But when you have this kind of, this issue from the outside looking in, I don't know how good a quarterback he can be moving forward if, every time you're away from the football facility, your mind's on something else totally, right? He's got some issue here, and he doesn't.
If you were a Bears fan, and we can talk about this in the last segment after the break and wrap up the Twitter poll, but think about this: 312-332-3776. Would you have been upset if the Bears went after Deshaun Watson after all of this? Now, we wanted him the first time, and, did we dodge a bullet? Would you have been upset if we tried to go back and right a wrong, so to speak, and try to get him after all of this?
Remember, Ryan Pace caught so much heat when it became public that he didn't even meet with Deshaun Watson. He was wining and dining Mitch Trubisky down in North Carolina at a steakhouse. They sent scouts to look at Deshaun Watson and scouted him, but they never actually had a one-on-one. And when that came out, it's like,
does Ryan Pace deserve some credit here?
Or was that dumb luck on his part? Yeah, that he,
He didn't. So does he deserve the credit? 312-332-3776. Back to wrap things up here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago.
This is Xander and Hanley on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
This is your home for Chicago White Sox baseball, White Sox Weekly at 2:30. Connor McKnight will be here. And then 4:30, he'll pick up the Sox pregame. 5:10 first pitch in Cleveland. We've got Mr. Cueto, our team leader on the south side, against Shane Bieber, who we did not do well against the last time. So it's going to be another tough watch tonight.
Well,
only the hardiest Sox fans will be watching that game.
Well, you did what you do. You dropped the first one, so now you got to get this one and hopefully find a way to win the series. But also, about an hour after the White Sox start, did you see this? So MLB Network is going to have a free stream of your AAA Charlotte Knights against the Syracuse Mets tonight. And so MLB.com, if you want to be watching the White Sox your TV.
Yeah,
did you see this? They're going to have the pitch clock. They're going to have the larger bases, which are proposed rules changes that may or may not come to Major League Baseball in the next couple of years.
The big pillows?
Big pillows for safety's sake. And I love this one. Now, we've heard robo-umps are on the way, right? We know that. It seems to be just when, not if, that you're going to have the umpire with an earpiece calling balls and strikes that the system tells them whether it's a strike or not. Tonight, they're going to have the ABS challenge system. So instead of the umpire just listening to the computer telling him it was a ball, it was a strike, they'll have the same system that a robo-ump system would have, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the umpire is still going to call the game. Now, you get three challenges per team to challenge a ball or strike call. So if you're the batter and he calls it a strike and you think, why don't you go take a look at that? Then they can have the system beep or not, whether it was a strike or not. And if you're a pitcher and you think he called the ball, there should have been a strike, and maybe the bases are loaded and you're just going to walk in and run, you can challenge it. The managers can't challenge it. So only the batter or the pitcher or the catcher can challenge it.
Interesting.
So
MLB TV.
This is kind of like a happy medium for those who still want the human element involved. And some people are done with umpires completely. And Angel Hernandez would
especially
come to mind.
Especially Angel, yeah.
Yeah. But this might be a way of trying to make everyone happy, where the umpire is not just sitting there back there bored because, you know, oh, that's a beep, that's a strike, I raise my arm.
Right.
But then the pressure's on the players, because the team only has three of them. Now, if you challenge and you're correct, you retain that challenge. So you'd still have three.
Right. And if you don't, like in Major League Baseball, when you challenge a review of play, you lose it.
Right. And so now if you're down to one challenge and it's a seventh inning, you have to think, is this the right thing to do for a team? Even though selfishly you want that call, you better be damn sure, because you might, you know, run out of challenges, and the game might go to extra innings or something.
Interesting.
When they need it.
Interesting.
So it's the first time I've realized that they're experimenting with it,
yep,
and that it's not simply robo umps or nothing, that it's an all or nothing situation.
MLBTV.com, right?
MLB.com.
MLB.com. Okay. We've got a couple of Twitter polls on ESPN 1000 we want to wrap up real quick. Which owner will win another World Series first? Jerry Reinsdorf, Tom Ricketts, or neither? Jake Cantu, we go to you for the results.
Wow. Neither takes it at 57%.
There you go, Chicago.
Tom Ricketts, though, 34%.
Okay.
So Jerry got what? 9%?
8%, yeah, 8.5.
Wow. Okay.
Does that mean he's going to sell the team sooner than they would win a World Series?
Yeah, inconclusive. Yeah. It just ain't going to happen under Jerry. Yeah, neither. Which manager will lead his team to the playoffs first? Tony La Russa, David Ross, or neither? Jake Cantu?
Also neither at 41%.
There are some sour baseball fans in the city of Chicago.
Where did Tony come in on that?
So Tony came in at 25% and then David Ross at 33%.
Wow.
Interesting. So most fans are just sour.
Yeah.
On both sides. They're just sour. And we get that, right?
Yep.
Not hard to understand. No. Not hard to understand at all. And today is they're all must wins for the White Sox, don't you think? But today certainly is a must win after yesterday dropping that and getting struck 17 strikeouts. That's a horrible, horrible. And three of them by the reliever, but the starting pitcher, that 14. Tall dude, 14.
No walks.
14.
No,
is he that good? We don't know, because the Sox aren't really as good as they should be.
He's 9-9 with a 3.11 ERA, so the answer would be no.
Yeah.
And Mark Zander, may I be the first one to wish you a happy National Radio Day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, and back at you. Yes, it is National Radio Day. I'm not sure what that is or what that really means, but every year I just retweet it because social media tells me to do as much. All right, Jake Cantu, thank you for your help on the program. Brian, always a pleasure. We'll be back here tomorrow together at 9 a.m. on ESPN 1000. We're going to go to ESPN and then come back with Connor McKnight at 2:30 for White Sox Weekly. Then the pregame at 4:30 with Connor leading to the first pitch at 5:10. Mr. Johnny Cueto, wouldn't you say he's our leader on the South Side? I mean, he's the one willing to speak up.
It's not curious. It's obvious.
It's yes. Yes, it is. And Jose is our leader, our silent leader. All right, Shane Bieber will... we'll try to beat him today. Thank you for listening to ESPN 1000. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.